I think it's also important to recognize that racism requires power. So many of you might remember I said in a lecture earlier this year at some point, pretty sure, that anybody can experience racial discrimination, right? As a white person, I can experience racial discrimination. Someone can discriminate against me because I'm white, but that is not racism. Because racism requires an element of power, structural power, right? So if someone discriminates against me because of my race, that might hurt my feelings, but it is not backed by any systems or structures, right? If somebody discriminates against a person of color, that might also hurt their feelings, and it is also backed by history and systems and structures, right? So that is racism, okay? So racial privilege plus the misuse of power equals racism, yes. Does that make sense? So in our culture, in the United States, white folks hold power. That doesn't mean other folks don't have power, but in this construct, in this culture, white folks hold power. We live in a system of white supremacy. So when you have what is called horizontal oppression, or oppression that occurs between people of color, what that is doing is upholding white supremacy because it's causing infighting. But that doesn't necessarily mean that racism is happening. It means racial discrimination is happening. If I am poor, but I am white, I can still be racist because my whiteness gives me skin color privilege. Does that make sense? What I can't be if I'm poor is classist because I don't have power as it relates to class. Okay, we have intersecting identities. We all hold power in different places. We can all leverage power in different places. And what we are focusing on is race. If you had somebody that worked at WashU, let's use Dr. Ross, for example, right? So Dr. Ross is a Black man who has a very high power, high sort of role within this institution, which is a primarily white institution. Can Dr. Ross be racist if he internalizes sort of ideas of racism? So I would say no, because he does not hold racial privilege. But that doesn't mean that he's not upholding institutional racism. What you need to know is racial privilege plus misuse of power equals racism is the framework that we understand racism by. Also two separate things, right? Like you can do things that are rooted in racism, but that doesn't make you a racist because you may not have racial privilege, right? And that's the internalized racism that somebody might have that was talked about over here. What are some examples of structural racism that you can think of? We've talked about a few already over the course of module one. What does structural racism look like? Really, healthcare in general, right? The way that we've set up our healthcare system, right? The way that it's structured, visiting hours, payment plans, et cetera, right? For those of you who don't know, the Center for Outpatient Health has sort of a tiered system wherein folks that are in public insurance take the blue elevators and the people who have private insurance take the orange elevators, and the people who have private insurance see the attendings and the people who have public insurance see the residents, right? Is that inherently racist? Does that capture everybody? No, but we know who it disproportionately captures, right? Because of systemic racism elsewhere, employment, right? Education, all of these things. All of your faculty that built Gateway have seen this timeline, and some extraneous people have seen this timeline. And when we got to the time, Edgar, and we asked the question, why didn't Edgar graduate? There were members of your faculty that said, maybe Edgar just wasn't smart enough, right? I don't say that to sort of say like the people here are shitty. That's not what I'm saying.